Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma. And we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great because I can see your face for once.
I know, it's weird. We've got the video on, guys, yeah. Which we don't usually have.
It's because I'm using my different laptop.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm using a Windows-based PC, which I would say is not as good as the Mac, but the camera does work. So in many ways, better than the Mac.
Well, yeah, crucially.
Mm,
is that why we don't usually look? I thought we just didn't look at each other because we couldn't be arsed doing our makeup.
For me, it's that I don't have a camera on the
I mean, that is a crucial thing that you would need to do this. So.
Yeah. If I've started using my work laptop, sorry, work. I'll be okay with it.
You're going to get fired for that.
Probably am, but hopefully not.
As long as you're not looking at porn, I think it's fine.
I'm not looking at porn on my work laptop.
Just as sexy.
Yeah, although I have spent a lot of time on the Daily Mail website in the last couple of days, which is almost as bad.
Why is that, Emma?
Because I was in it, and I was starring in it, and I'm famous. Mm-hmm, my friend Sophie. it was a really nice, I mean, we're going to talk about our other media appearance in a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got a really nice write-up in U Magazine. It was me talking about my friend Sophie. If you are a regular listener to the show, I think it was literally the third or fourth episode that she was in. Mm. We talked about how infertility had kind of affected our friendship. And then I wrote about it in the book. And then the nice lady from the New Magazine wanted to interview me about it. There's a nice picture of Sophie and I. In fact, during a recording of a aforementioned podcast episode in which you unfortunately cropped out.
Yeah. Nice. Nice that. I was like, I was in that picture, I'm sure. Oh, fucking hell.
Nope, just Sophie and that.
Yeah, whatever, I've gotten over it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks.
Very exciting. Wow. Spread the good word.
Yeah, we're spreading the word hard, aren't we?
We are spreading it hard.
Yeah.
We also have just heard that we're going to be on BBC Five Live, guys.
Yeah, sometime in March.
But we don't know when, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
During what I think is their parenting program, which is probably one that we usually swerve, but then
maybe don't listen, guys. Maybe just avoid.
I think this one might be fine.
Yeah.
We will let you know via our Insta.
Yeah.
Because we also have other news, Emma.
This is our last episode. Is that the
it
news?
Is. Yes. Yeah. That's the news.
Not our last ever episode. Our last episode for now. We just need some time off. I need to sleep a bit more.
Yeah, fair enough. I think probably we just need just one job.
Yeah, just one job for the time being.
Yeah.
Would be great. So I think probably, that's it for this series. But we've got a nice, oh my God, I haven't even thought about what we're actually talking about. Yeah, so we've got a really nice ending to the series. If this is your bag, might not be. You remember our friend Sophie, other friend Sophie, who featured in the last series.
Sophorama today, isn't it?
My life is full of Sophies.
All your friends are called Sophie and your sister.
My sister, yeah. so Sophie, our mate, our mutual friend.
BFN Sophie.
BFN Soph, is giving us a big update.
A lot of you have been asking, where's Sophie and where's the update? And we've been saying, wait. And now, here it is.
Here it is. Obviously, the usual caveats apply in this situation. We're going to be talking about the results of a fertility treatment. So if a fertility treatment result is something you can't listen to right now, then please press stop now. Yes. Well, maybe after our conversation-y bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let you know. We'll give you the heads up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as usual, slight trigger warning. Mm-hmm. But it was lovely to catch up with Sophie.
It was. I feel like I haven't caught up with her for ages.
Yes. So this is the season finale. We will be back. We will be continuing our Instagram, though, of course. I'll be there. Pinging away. So if you need to get in touch with us and if you're looking for news from us, it will probably come through Instagram for a while until we bring the newsletter back, which will be probably in about a month's time.
Yeah. You might get it from Twitter as well if I'm like in the mood.
I don't go on Twitter, guys. I'm not cool enough for Twitter.
I think you're too cool for Twitter.
No. It intimidates me.
We had a media law session at work the other day where the guy was basically like, anybody under 30 doesn't use Twitter. So, like, if you think you know what people are doing, you don't.
No. They're on that tickety-tock, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Tickety-tock hop. So, guys, hit us up on Instagram with anything. Yeah. And we will be back, obviously, as always. But we're just going to take a little break.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so by going to...
@ Big Fat Negative.
I just said Twitter, didn't I? That was a weird first one.
I mean, well, that's not the first one. It certainly wouldn't be my first choice.
It's usual opening gambit. You can also follow us on Instagram.
@ Big Fat Negative.
Or you can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com. And guys, of course, if you haven't already, and if you fancy it, you could always buy our book. And this is the last time you'll hear us say this season, because it is the last episode of the season. So I hope we haven't bored you too much with our book chat. But of course, if you'd like to buy it, you can buy it from all of the best book places, can't you, Emma?
You certainly can.
And one of the biggest ones is called?
Amazon.
And what would we really love you to do if you bought it from Amazon?
A review.
Oh, guys, please leave us some nice reviews on the Amazon.
Yes, that would be really nice. Thank
you. Mr. Jeff Bezos will help us to do even better if you leave some lovely reviews on the Amazon.
He's such a generous soul.
He is so generous.
we'd love it if you could leave a review if you've got time.
If you read it and you enjoyed it, yeah, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, enjoy the episode.
Hey,
we're back.
That brief interlude.
What are we talking about today, Gabs?
Well, I thought we might talk about, because I was listening to Woman's Hour the other day, and apart from the appearance of the brilliant Becky Cairns at Finding Mum, who is talking about IVF at work, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I also listened to Marion Keyes, who's an author.
Love her.
And she was talking to Emma Barnett about, briefly only, to be honest, about her not having had children. And it's just quite interesting. She basically didn't ever have children, couldn't have it, but didn't go through IVF, made the choice not to go through IVF. So she kind of talked about that a little bit. And then also about how she and her husband have kind of moved forward. But with the IVF thing, she kind of said that at the time she kind of felt like she had so much going on, like she'd just been published, like life was going really well, she'd found the man of her dreams. She was kind of like, okay, right, this is the thing I'm not supposed to have.
Right.
Almost. She said it's kind of like her Catholic guilt almost was just like, right, well, there it is. That's the thing I can't have.
Yeah.
And so she didn't ever try through IVF. And then she talked about, she just talked about how her husband and her had to change their expectations of what their life was going to be like because they had wanted so many kids and then obviously they weren't having any. But she talked about like how changing, like they made the decision not to do IVF. And that was the decision that they were not going to have children. But she said that, and whilst a decision was made not to continue trying for children, like a decision is not the same as your feelings changing. And that, so that she said that like her feelings take so much longer, and that she kind of has to wake up every morning and just think, okay, well that thing is not part of my life, but look at all the great things that are. And then it's just like a long process of kind of just trying to reassure yourself that she's got, you know, she's got so many great things in her life. I just found it so interesting because she obviously, you know.
She was really good on that particular subject with Elizabeth Day as well on the How to Fail podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that struck me when I was listening to her was like how kind of almost sanguine she seemed about it, how kind of relaxed she was, and you know, she was able to be grateful for the other things in her life. And I was like, that is amazing that she can be like that. I would never be like that. Basically,
well, as she said, it took a long time. Yeah. I don't think she's gotten to that place overnight by any means. And yeah, it's just I guess it just shows you, right? You can't, you know. You know, there are these people that seem to have everything who haven't managed to have everything that they've ever wanted. And I think, yeah, I didn't know that about her. And that's why I think when I was listening to it, I was like, okay, wow, I didn't know she'd tried.
Yeah. I also really like a Marianne Keyes novel.
Oh, man, who doesn't?
Yeah. Big so fan. Great. Big fan.
Yeah. I haven't read any recent ones, actually. I was really into them in my early 20s. I haven't read any since. I probably should.
Yeah, you definitely should. Yeah, the other thing, as I recall, I mean, obviously this is like 2 years ago that I heard this, but she talked a lot about how, like, she has a lot of kind of nephews and nieces and how, you know, her role was to help raise them.
Mm.
Which a lot of people say that that's, you know, that's how they kind of come to terms with childlessness.
Well, I'd say I imagine it's a piece of the puzzle, right? It's one of the things that you use and you apply. Mm-hmm. To your life that are kind of never, it's never a replacement, of course, but.
Yeah, it just feels like one of those things where people would be like, but at least you've got loads of nieces and nephews, and you'd be like.
No.
So, yeah.
Yes, but if she's come to that place herself and it's genuinely something that brings her happiness and peace, then that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing that happened this week was that, like, I think we talked about it a bit last week, right? But we went on Chris Evans' breakfast show. Which
oh my God.
Like, way more glamorous than I was expecting. I think I'm always just like, I get underexcited because I'm always like, oh, it's not going to be as cool as I imagine. But if anything, this was cooler.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, we went to the News UK building, which you've worked in loads of times, I've never been into, but it's just basically a massive glass box that looks out over London. We went to like the 10 millionth floor, so we could see all the way over London. And then we just like went into the studio that was all kind of neon lights and like Chris Evans just like bouncing around. And then not only, this is the thing that absolutely staggered me, because I'm a journalist, I review books, I interview authors quite a lot. It's often really, really hard to get to the end of a book in time. Because if somebody sends you a book to read, they're like, oh, so here's the book, and can you interview the author in a week? And you're like, yes. And you start reading it. But it's, like for me, I often find it hard to get to the end. I usually read about 75%.
Mm-hmm.
And I like consider myself doing good homework compared to other people who
read a first chapter and the end of it.
Exactly. Quite often people don't read the book. Not only had Chris Evans read the book, like when we went into the studio, he was holding a well-thumbed copy with pages turned down. He got incredibly emotional during our conversation, which was another thing I did not expect.
Yeah.
Because he and his wife have been through fertility treatment, what sounds like a lot of times.
Yeah.
And he said they'd had two ectopic pregnancies, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. It's obviously, he was revisiting a very painful part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that him and his wife were reading the book together. It's just really humbling. I was like, wow, I'm just so like, wow, thank you so much for caring so much. Thank you so much for reading it. Thank you so much for loving it so much. He was gushing.
He was gushing. It was awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, it was really nice. It was just quite nice to be part of the family. He was lovely.
He was so nice.
It's very funny. He was wearing very, very bright trainers, a pair of not great looking tracksuit pants and a shirt.
Yeah. He looked very trendy and cool, in a dad way.
Yeah.
But yeah, he like hugged us both. And like when he was off air, he was like, this is such an important book. And he'd been giving it, we got the training together, and all morning on the show, he was like, this is the most important book we've ever had. And stuff like that, like real, like big statements.
Mm, yeah.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting at all. Not because I don't think our book is brilliant, obviously no. It is. But like, yeah, Chris Evans, like,
you
wow.
Just don't, I think you don't expect somebody who, I always expect a bit of detachment from kind of celebrities.
Yeah.
But he was really lovely.
Yeah, he was great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're very grateful and...
super grateful.
Yeah. We don't get to go in on the Five Live one. I think it's on Zoom, which is not as exciting, is it?
It's not, no. But we'll do our best to be exciting.
Yes, we'll bring the fun.
That was the other thing, like we'd been warned that we had to be quite high energy, so we'd spent the whole morning like razzing ourselves up, and then we went into the studio and it was really emotional.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting tears because we were like, okay, let's think of all the funny, like what are all our funny jokes, let's run through the ways we can make Chris Evans laugh and bring loads of energy to this conversation. Yeah, we walked in and everyone's like weeping.
Yeah,
like, where do we go now? This is a complete tonal change.
I've got so much energy and I don't know what to do with it. But anyway, yeah, it was great. It was a real honour.
Yeah, and thanks to everyone who listened. And if anyone wants to re-listen or listen to it for the first time, you can check it out on the Virgin UK website. Yeah. You can do catch-ups. And it was on the 16th of February, about 3 hours into the record.
9:30 that it started. Yes, so it was the last half hour, wasn't it, of the show?
It was, yeah. So yeah, if you want to listen to that, you can. It's also in the podcast. A shortened version is in the podcast.
Was it actually in the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. There's plenty of ways to listen.
And that, folks, is the last time I'm going to say Chris Evans, because I feel like I have said it everywhere.
A lot of times.
A lot of times. Gotta dine out on these things, right?
You absolutely do.
Squeeze the pips. Gotta dine out on it. It's never going to happen again.
Should we move on to the interview?
Let's.
Okay. Trigger warning, everyone. As we said at the beginning, results of fertility treatment are going to be announced. If you can't listen to it, stop now.
Mm-hmm. And that's completely understandable. And we love you. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, special guest.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We've missed
Thanks
you.
Thanks for introducing me as a special guest. I feel special.
You are special, pal.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
That's so special. Yeah. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are both of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fine.
I've got a hangover, but we'll get over that.
Rarity for Emma.
I am not good on hangover. Just want everyone to know that.
It's hard. It's hard.
It's really hard. I drank a lot of booze yesterday and then I woke up.
That'll do it.
You know, I've just forgotten about like things like when you wake up, you know, I don't know if anyone else has this, but I'll wake up like maybe 3 or 4 times after I've been drinking.
Yeah.
And like the
first, you don't get a great night's sleep.
No, you don't. And then the first time you wake up and you feel awful and you're like, oh my God, tomorrow's going to be horrendous. I'm going to die. And the second time you wake up, you feel arguably worse. The third time it's starting to get better. And the fourth time, like it's like quite a lot better. But I just, like, it's just... Oh,
are you necking water at each of these junctions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. But obviously, as we were staying at someone else's house, so, like, you feel quite bad for every time you need to, like, tiptoe to the toilet.
Yeah. Not ideal.
Yeah.
It's just... True.
But this isn't about me, this podcast.
It's not... Well, I mean, it is, arguably.
Yeah,
it is.
But... I mean, yeah. I think you've had quite a significant role to play in it so far.
It's not about my hangover. So it's about you, Soph. We're talking to you.
Yeah.
So we last saw you after Egg Collection. But for those of you who don't know what your story was, can you kind of give us a bit of a recap?
Yeah, I'll give you a whistle-stop tour of how we got there. So we had unexplained infertility for a little bit over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I won't take you through all the ins and outs of that. It's shit, as we all know.
Mm-hmm. Ins and outs.
Anyway, we finally did some more tests and got a referral for IVF. You'll have to re-listen to the whole of series 4 to get more details on all of that. So we got to egg collection, I think, in the last time I spoke to you guys. And mm-hmm. the plan was to do ICSI. And I'd spoken to you, I think, after egg collection. And we'd had a bit of a bumper crop of eggs, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Felt really, really, really lucky on that front. And if you remember, as I was kind of woozily coming out of my anaesthetic and feeling happy to be eating a chocolate bourbon biscuit, which they'd given me, they said, oh, you could actually do a mix of IVF and ICSI, you know, tri-trad IVF. And so we'd done a bit of a 2/3, 1/3 split and taken a bit of a gamble. And then because I had, you know, just my ovaries had got a bit bananas producing eggs, we then were in quite a long wait before the next step because they wanted everything to calm down so I didn't get OHSS.
Yeah.
Ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome.
Nice.
How long did you have to wait in the end? Because I think that's always, people often ask me the question of how long it was between collection and then if you skip a cycle or you have to wait, how long does that actually take? Because I can never really remember.
Yeah, so it was over 2 months. Collection was in early July, and then transfer was the very end of September.
Gosh, yeah.
So it was just a bit of a weird, baggy period that I was expecting to feel totally fine and positive about, because it felt that we'd done the hard work. But actually, I found that interim period really difficult because it did, you know, in the run up to, you know, we'd known for 2 months that we were going to be going into IVF. So we were doing like just the most sanctimonious living, super healthy, eating everything right, blah, blah, blah. And then in this interim period, it's like, oh, it's like I've got a little window of freedom, but I can't really do anything wild because I'm still kind of prepping my body and I don't know how long it's going to be.
Yeah.
I had to set lots of arbitrary rules for myself. Like, I was like, if it's a special occasion, I'll have 2 drinks, which I just basically pulled out of a hat.
Yeah.
Gabs, I came to see you and Mr. Gabby, as you recall.
Indeed. We had a great time. Like,
maybe I'll have an extra half glass of wine.
Probably did have a bit extra with us.
It was a very special occasion. So all that, I don't know, I found all that stuff a bit weird to navigate. But then also it was the emotional toil, even though I've, you know, clearly we were so lucky to have gotten to that stage and be in a really good position, you know, with having had viable embryos in the freezer and all that stuff. But it was the not knowing and then not being able to plan anything. And then, you know, the continuation of what we'd had for most of that year, which was, we can't really say yes to any plans. We can't really make any plans. We don't really know when anything's happening. We can't book in anything. But on top, you know, that's all quite superficial stuff compared to the, like, what's going to happen and when's it going to happen and is this ever going to happen?
I feel like it's very disruptive. It just contributes to the general misery of IVF.
Yeah. And there's, obviously there was the whole COVID situation layered on top of that. So when we knew we were going to have to wait at least a month, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I can, I've got a 3-week window where I can socialize again, because part of our agreement with our clinic was to basically social distance and isolate as much as possible, which is completely fair enough, because obviously we're accessing treatment on the NHS and you don't want to fuck up the timelines when they've invested so much in you because you've gone out to a party and got COVID.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very nice to have that little window of socialization. But again, it was just a lot of uncertainty. And it's a big thing that you're waiting for, you know, it's a huge thing. It's a
huge thing, yeah.
And yeah, part of me was like, oh, it's probably quite nice to not know what the outcome is, but I really want to crack on and know what the hell the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. So then you went for transfer. What protocol are you on?
I did natural.
Right, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm not sure I knew that.
Yeah.
It was really all dependent on your actual body.
Exactly, yeah.
So you didn't have pessaries?
I did that. I mean, they had kind of advised me it was much for muchness. And they said lots of people prefer to do it the other way because, you know, you get much more certainty over timelines. I was just feeling like I've put lots of drugs in my body.
Yeah.
And if there's one tiny way that we could follow my natural cycle a bit more, like, I'm quite keen to do that. And generally, I'm quite lucky that my cycles normally are pretty regular. And then the other factor was they said, they haven't yet got enough evidence on this, but there might be a slightly increased risk of blood clots, which my mum's had. So,
okay.
But they didn't really advise anyway. They were like, we're literally researching this at the moment, so we're not sure. And I was like, well, I'm kind of verging towards natural anyway, so that can
push me. Just so we're clear, does that mean you didn't do estrogen tablets before the transfer?
Not estrogen. I was using progesterone.
You are,
and it basically means you just have to go in every couple of days for scans.
Right, okay.
So they're kind of monitoring your levels really, really regularly. You're giving them updates very regularly. So you don't quite know when it's going to happen. And then suddenly it felt quite quick.
Yeah.
I'd put together all these different timelines so I could mark things up in my diary and be like, it might be here, it might be here, it might be here. And then suddenly it was just like, oh, well, it's going to be a week today.
Oh, wow.
Were you doing ovulation tests?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We tried a natural cycle. Didn't go well.
No.
No.
No. Tell us about the day. What happened on the day?
Yeah.
The day.
I was about to say, were you shitting yourself? But actually, it's more like, were you weeing yourself?
The day, I felt quite jubilant in a way. I think I was really glad that it was finally here.
Yeah.
There was probably quite a lot of nervous energy going on, and the way I deal with that typically is to like make jokes and be a bit silly. And it was early in the morning, so that also, you know, all I had to do was get up and get there, really. But obviously got there super early.
of course. I don't understand anyone who wouldn't.
Yeah. It's not the kind of thing that you want to be arriving 10 minutes late to.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
And all the medical team were amazing at putting us at ease and kind of making jokes and stuff. And we told our nearest and dearest that that was transfer day. So it felt kind of, you know, a bit of a groundswell of support. It was weirdly quite a nice day because again, I think with all this stuff, you know, it's such a long process to get there that it's so nice that there's an event.
Yeah.
Something happening.
Talk to us about the actual transfer, like what happened. So you got there, like how much water had you drunk?
Not
quite an important question.
Not quite enough, apparently.
Oh, really?
I really tried to drink the right amount. And obviously I was, you know, lying there with my legs spread out and someone poking around inside me. And someone else scanning me, you know, so you've got your legs kind of up in stirrups. I was very lucky that my husband was allowed in, you know, we're at a stage of restrictions where he was allowed in, so he was there as well.
That's good.
And you know, there's quite a few people in the room as well.
It's quite a
crowd.
Having
a good gander up there. So one person was scanning and, you know, and they were kind of looking, they're like, oh, well, we don't know if your bladder's quite full enough. And I was like, I can drink more water right now. They were like, no, I think we'll be okay.
It's good to make the point that if your bladder isn't full enough, you can drink more water. Like, what you can't do.
Also, it's like, I'm sure that would have occurred to them if that's what they wanted. You know, they are professionals.
But
I was just so keen to,
to be helpful.
To do well.
To get it right, to be helpful. Yeah. To do well.
Gold star.
I wanted
star,
an A,
Sophie.
But I think I came out with a B minus. and then it took them a while to get the catheter through my cervix. I don't know, that took quite a long time. I'm sure it often does.
It's not very comfortable, is it?
Yeah, it's not the most comfortable thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'm not sure I'd do it recreationally for fun.
No,
but
quite.
But it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
It's
it doesn't hurt. It's just not brilliantly comfortable.
Yeah, it's just a weird sensation. And then I think when it was already in, they were like, oh, by the way, the first embryo we defrosted didn't really work, so you're one down, but we're using the next one, which is the same quality. I was like, oh, okay, fine.
That's
there's not much I can do to complain.
Yeah, that's
right,
not
now
a nice thing to hear.
Well, it was like, by that point I was like, okay, good, let's just crack on with the next one. But this is a strange time to be sharing this news.
Yeah, why would you say that now?
I'm sitting here generally
with my legs exposed and, you know.
I think that's generally when that is taught, when that is said. But I feel like somebody like Sophie, who is a high achiever, might take that personally.
No, I was all right with it because we had another one in line, luckily. But I guess they have to do it so there and then, you know. I don't think it's like they can defrost them 3 days ahead.
They can't give you a heads up.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
What was incredible was when they pop it in, they kind of tell you to look out on the screen for like a little flash, which is the embryo actually going in, which absolutely blew my mind that you could see something on that scale. And they very kindly then kind of rewound it and replayed it.
Oh, that's nice. Did you get a picture? Really nice. I never got a picture. I wished I had.
I don't think we did, no. We did take some pictures of just being in robes.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, obviously.
And my sister had sent me some little socks with pineapples on, which was so sweet. So
that's very sweet.
Yeah. In fact, I took photos because you guys had told me to.
Yeah, it's good.
I would never in a million years have thought to do that otherwise, but you were like, you know, just take them, which was a very good tip. Nice to see it going in. And then, you know, rest of the day was really just lying around taking loads of, I mean, even as soon as I kind of, you know, they put you in your room to get dressed, I was like, I'm just gonna lie here for a bit. They said there's no hurry, I don't need to be in a rush, I'm just gonna lie and relax and kind of catch my breath.
That's cool that they didn't chuck you out.
Yeah, they were pretty chilled about it. And then, just laid around for the rest of the day. In fact, did a lot of lying around.
Did you?
For the next few days.
Did you freak out that you're going to wee your embryo out?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm no biologist, but I'm pretty sure my wee comes out a different hole.
It's a different hole. It's not, is it?
I mean, if it doesn't, this could explain a lot of the issues with getting pregnant in the first place.
That's what I've
maybe
been
I've been
doing
getting
wrong.
Everything mixed up this whole time.
That's what's gone wrong. So, I mean, did you watch any films that day?
Oh, yeah, I think I watched a load of crap and then I slept. You know, because there's a lot of adrenaline and it had been such a big build-up to it.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of napping, lying around, and I just, kept on that napping vibe. And I also tried to kind of start talking to this little embryo. In fact, as soon as they put it in, I was like, you know, I hope you like it in there. I just felt, you know, mentally for me that would be a good positive thing to do and try and counter all the voices of doubt that could have been in my head, and I was like I'm gonna drown you out with positive thinking, enforced positive thinking that I had to write myself a daily checklist to do.
not natural
no. I had a checklist that was like, do deep breathing, do visualizations, and then I'd bookmarked a thing on my phone that was a little like day by day, this is what the cells should and would be doing if everything was going in the right direction. So even it was when it was like, and then like six cells splits into eight, you know, I'd spend like throughout the day do a kind of 5-minute visualization of that happening.
Nice. And so is that kind of what the 2-week wait was like for you? How did it go down?
It was a lot of just trying to be really, and I have no idea if there's any benefit to this whatsoever. You might be able to go off and just do whatever you like. But for me, I felt the best thing for me would have been, just to be very restful, not do vigorous exercise. Not because vigorous exercise is bad necessarily, because I think all the medical team were like, you can carry on, you know, doing what you normally do. Yeah. But I was just like, I just have a irrational fear that if I like went for a run, well, Emma, I was just saying, of course I didn't think I could wee it out, but I was like, if I go for a run, maybe I'll shake it out.
we all have our little superstitions, don't we? Gabby going over speed bumps.
I can see that. Yeah. I was like, I just don't want to do anything that involves like shaking my womb too much. So it was just, you know, just like gentle walks with the dog. But other than that, a lot of lying around and resting.
Did you work?
I did work, but I had given my Actually, yeah, I'd given my work a heads up, you know, originally when we were doing all the meds and injections and stuff that I was doing IVF.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't let them know when the transfer date was because I just didn't want that pressure. Because I was working from home, I was like, do you know what? I just don't need to push it that hard. I kind of cancelled meetings or rearranged meetings where I could and gave myself time off when I needed it.
Good.
So, yeah, I was just, you know, just trying to be very restful. And like I said, I had a kind of daily checklist of, you know, eating lots of protein every day, like protein powder or just protein in real, I don't know what it's called, real form, in actual food, not powder form.
Not protein shakes.
And then to do, I think I've talked about doing like this deep breathing thing before, your 4-7-8 breathing and trying to,
love
like
that.
I said, look at the, like day by day, what should have been happening with the cells and the formation and visualizing that. Just doing whatever I could really to calm myself down, but then also not Googling anything else. I banned myself from looking up any signs or symptoms of anything else because I thought I'd drive myself nuts.
That's really impressive.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
Well, not clever, just I just know what I'm like. And I was like, I can't, it'll do my head in if I go on an internet wormhole right now.
Yeah. I wish I had that strength.
Yeah.
I don't.
I definitely did. not have that strength. I definitely looked at Google stuff. Anyway, so test day.
Yeah.
So what happened? What time did you wake up?
Yeah.
I woke up every 30 to 60 minutes the whole way through the night.
Okay. Oh, God. what time did you allow yourself to test?
I got up at 4 a.m. and was like, I'm so awake right now, but I just don't think it's fair on Mr. Sophie. I don't think he's going to be keen. I'm going to have to give it another hour. And then I just, you know, kind of, I wasn't even really asleep. I just was like literally waiting for the clock to turn 5 a.m. Sprung out, you know, just said, oh, I'm going to go and do this now. And he was like, yeah, okay. And did, I, you know, I waited until they'd, you know, I can't remember if it's 10 or 11 days. Got up at 5 a.m. and did it.
Yeah, you waited the full.
Obviously did two tests at the same time.
Did you?
I do. Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it was good news.
Oh. There she is.
There she is.
Congratulations, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it wasn't congratulations yet at that stage, but we're, things have amazingly gone well since then. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We are still pregnant, which is
congrats.
So lucky.
When you were taking the test, did you make Mr. Sophie look at it or did you look at it yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as he describes it, he just heard me kind of like giggling in the bathroom and was like, that's got to be a good sign. And then I just came running in to show him. You know, because I couldn't quite believe it. It's like the first time I'd ever seen it, it was 5 in the morning. It was pitch black.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, is this a dream?
I like that you have one test for you to study and one test for him to study.
It's quite clever. Yeah, I've not heard people doing two tests.
Can you
at the
cherish
same time?
This thing that I've just urinated all over?
Yeah.
Yeah. So special.
Frame it. Keep it forever.
I didn't throw it away for weeks.
Yeah. Every time I've handed John a pregnancy test, he's been like, thanks, and then held it really gingerly.
Yeah, which is fair enough because you've literally just pissed all over it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what happened in early pregnancy? Did you have any like scary moments? What happened to your head?
Well, that morning I was very excited. So as you know, WhatsApped you both, picture of the test, and my family, and then one other WhatsApp group of kind of other best mates who knew it was transfer day. We hadn't told that many people. Well, we told a few people that transfer was coming up, but you know, we didn't really want to then have to update everyone afterwards. And then that whole day was quite surreal. You know, just kind of trying to like balance that huge wave of emotions, like, oh my God, I can't believe that after all this time, this is actually possible for us. Because by that point we were, you know, it was over 2.5 years. Obviously some people listening to that would have gone much longer than that, but just seeing that result for the first ever time was kind of mind blowing. But then obviously constantly trying to temper your emotions, like this is actually just for most people step one. It's just taken us so long to get to step one, you know, and we can't get too excited. And then Mr. Sophie had a bit of a freak out, like, oh my god, I'm gonna lose all my independence. And I was like, well, yeah, well, it's early days, but also I really don't need to hear that right now.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of my first thoughts after I got my positive test was, I'm not ready for this. After trying for 4 years. Like, I think you just are a bit...
But I don't think... The thing about infertility, I don't think it should be able to rob you of the fact that you're then nervous about the big thing that's happened. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You should still be able to have those very natural kind of like, oh God, responses, even though you've obviously tried very hard to get to that point and wished for it to happen. But you still, I think it's okay to still have those responses and think we should be able to.
Yeah.
Well, mostly that day, I felt like I was on cloud nine because I just couldn't quite believe it. Mm-hmm. But then that very bloody night started getting spotting.
Ugh.
And I was
that, like, night.
That night. Literally that night. I was like, I can't fucking believe this. Like, I'm such an idiot for having told anyone.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've got my hopes up. We're right back to square one. But I spoke to the nurses first thing in the morning, who were very reassuring. And, you know, they were like, if it's light, you know, don't worry, it's quite normal. That then carried on for about, you know, kind of on and off for about a week and a half.
Wow.
But it was always quite light, and they had said, you know, just keep us updated on everything. Mm. But that, you know, it just can happen. But that really obviously like set me into a like, okay, I need to be a bit more tempered in my excitement and just try and stay positive. Keep doing all this deep breathing, visualization, being restful, just doing whatever the fuck I could to try and stay calm, basically. And, you know, obviously lots of healthy eating and all that kind of jazz.
I hate the reality check.
Yeah.
It's like, haha, you thought you'd won. No, you haven't. Or maybe you haven't.
Yeah, yeah. But then the spotting died down, which was great. Yeah, and as I'm sure you guys have found as well, it's kind of, I felt happy and joyful and excited every day, but you obviously don't want to get, I didn't want to plan too far ahead at all. I was like, look, I just have to think about this in little increments.
Yeah.
So I had my daily checklist, and I was like, you know, just every day, every additional day is something to be thankful for and a joy. And we've just got to kind of take it day by day. And then, you know, when I get to the end of a week, like that's a celebration, you know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of, my milestones were on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And then I found out that actually you count your weeks into pregnancy from 2 weeks before.
Oh, you had that discovery.
From your first cycle day, which I didn't realise. So then I was like, oh my God, I've just gained like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Being like, oh, what? What? I thought I was 2 weeks pregnant, but no, I'm four.
Yeah. That was really nice.
Yeah. You're like, oh wow, I've really just escaped. Like, I've loads more than I expected.
Yeah. That was really nice. And then it was just kind of building up to the 7 week scan, which we got, which I don't know if it's standard everywhere for IVF, but definitely at our hospital they give you a 7 week scan.
That's pretty standard
fertility treatment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all just kind of like, we just need to take things week by week until we get to that. You know, it's just kind of taking each milestone as it comes.
Yeah. Okay. And how are you doing now? Where are you? What point are we at?
Now at well, we're past halfway, so we're 22 weeks and a couple of days.
Shit.
That's right.
Have you got a little bump?
Yeah. Yeah. So now really enjoying it.
Yeah,
which is great. But again, I was like, you know, everyone kept saying, oh, have you got this? Have you got that? I was like, well, I'm not I'm not really buying or planning anything till we get to the 20 week scan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, you know, we'd had a scare quite early on. So at 9.5 weeks, I had a big bleed. I had to go for an emergency scan. That whole day was really hectic. You know, it was at night. My husband was going to France first thing in the morning for a work trip. We both got like, fuck, you know, things like that. I don't know. Just, yeah. But
was that a hematoma?
Yes, it was a sub.
Subchorionic hematoma.
How
is it that all three of us have had them? They're supposed to be really rare.
I mean, anecdotally, they do seem to be quite common in IVF pregnancies.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But Professor Tim didn't say that that was the case.
Mm. Weird.
So the jury's still out, but it does feel like they seem to be quite common.
Do you feel like your journey has affected how you've been during the pregnancy?
Yeah, and I think there have been pros and cons to that. I'd actually say probably mostly pros in that, well, I don't know. I guess the pros are that lots of other people kind of bitch and whine about the first 12 weeks in particular, like, oh God, I feel so sick, I feel so tired. Mm. Whereas I kind of woke up at 4 or 5 a.m. every morning feeling really sick. And then my mind would be like, oh my God, I must be so hungover. What the fuck did I do last night? Oh God, I think I'm going to throw up. And then I'd wake up and be like, oh no, I haven't drunk for months and months and months. I'm pregnant. This is so great. You know, so all the kind of feeling shitty, even though you still feel shit, you're like, yeah, but this is how it's meant to feel and it's exciting and it's great. Mm. You know, obviously I had a couple of days where I was just like, I feel rough. But there's a kind of relishing the roughness, if that makes sense. There's a certain delight in it because it's, you know, it's something that you've been waiting to experience for so long. And then I guess I think it's probably made me more pragmatic at every stage because I know I'm just much more aware of what's happening inside my body from everything I've learned about it. And because it's been a journey to get here, I have really felt that I've had to, and it's been really tough at points. Obviously, as we all know, it's like just, it can be so destructive for your mental health. So I knew that I had to do lots and lots of stuff to try and keep in a positive mindset. Which is why I know I've said this like 5 million times already, but doing things like having a thing that I have to tick off on a piece of paper to say that I've done 10 minutes deep breathing every day or 5 minutes meditation, or like I continue to do these out loud positive affirmations past the first 12 weeks, you know, like literally walking around my house, having little note cards and reciting things out loud saying this is all working and da, da, da.
Mm.
And I don't think I would have done any of that if we'd got pregnant straight away.
Yeah.
But it is all stuff that, you know, helps me manage my well-being. So I guess just being more, feeling more obligated to do that.
Yeah.
Potentially has meant I've managed to stay calm and felt better about it. And I've been more conscious of trying to do all the right things for my health. But then also that's a bit frustrating because obviously you see other people who are pregnant and they're like, oh yeah, you can have, you know, you can have a drink or I'm just having a couple of drinks or, oh, you don't really need to worry about eating this or that. You know, now I'm a bit further along, I'm feeling more relaxed about those things. But for the first 12 weeks, I don't know, you know, there's, I don't want to seem uptight about it, but the truth is I am a bit uptight about it because I don't want to like have a fucking one mouthful of blue cheese and fuck the whole thing up.
I think fair enough, mate. I think
I guess it's maybe more rule abiding.
That's it. You don't want to introduce any risk at all.
No, and then to be blaming yourself if something didn't, you know, was to go wrong. Absolutely fair enough.
So I guess the downside is that I don't think I've been as carefree as other people. But the further along I get, the more relaxed I feel about that kind of stuff. And also it feels like a kind of small price to pay.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask you a potentially difficult question. Mm-hmm. Looking back over your journey now, I didn't say journey. What was the hardest bit for you, would you say?
Oh, so many lovely choices. So many delicious times.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much for asking, Gabby.
I think probably this time about a year ago, so January, February last year, was really, really rough. It was in the UK. There was also the lockdown that was announced just before Christmas, which I think the whole country found really difficult.
Yeah, it was a hard time.
Yeah. Me and my husband were having an awful time. We were having a really bad time in our relationship. We were, which was the intersection of lots of different factors, but the infertility thing was a huge one. I think it just felt like we were just going into yet another year of uncertainty, not knowing, not being referred, nothing happening, having unexplained infertility. It felt really, really grim. And normally, my birthday's at the end of the year, so I normally really like to start a new year with a new leaf, because it's like a new year of my life, a new calendar year, I try and set good intentions. And I was just like, God, for the last couple of years I've done this. And even before we had fertility issues like that, we'd had for different reasons some tricky years, and I was like, well, what is the point of even trying to set good intentions for this year? Because every time I've done that, it just feels like it just is, gets worse. And also our clinical commissioning group, the area that we're based in, normally wouldn't make a referral for unexplained infertility until you get to 3 years. Yeah. And we had lots of other things tied into that. We wanted to move to a different area, but we were waiting to see whether or not we had a family. So it just felt like everything was stagnating, our whole lives were on pause. Mm-hmm.
It's the psychological stuff.
Yeah.
That's hardest.
Yeah.
Often. Like, that's generalising grossly, but you know what I mean.
But then there's also then all the, day-to-day stuff of like pregnancy announcements, seeing people with bumps, that kind of stuff, which doesn't really stop.
It's funny how it's still triggering.
There is something nice that I can now walk around and be like, oh, I feel you, I've got one of those too, I'm finally part of this tribe. But
you don't feel like it. You feel like an outsider.
Yeah, exactly. And already I've got people saying, oh, and do you think you'll have a second? And it's not that fucking easy. Do you know what I mean?
Like, do you have any idea what's just happened?
Yeah.
Don't ask me that.
Yeah. Now it's possible. Do you think you'll have another one? It's like, well, was it possible? We needed quite a lot of help. Yeah.
That's hard. Okay, so I guess the last question is, what is your advice for someone who's in the throes of it, in the thick of it?
Tricky, because obviously I've just said a load of stuff that I found helpful for me. Mm. Yeah, but at the end of the day, luck is the biggest factor,
But I think that, the positive affirmations thing, like that is, I would never do that, but that has really helped you. And so I think it's good to have you on here saying that that's helped you.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of people out there like you that it might help.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Or does it make me sound like a bitch?
I think it makes perfect sense.
That stuff was really good for me. And I only really knuckled down to do all that stuff properly and consistently when IVF was on the cards. I think what's really difficult when you're in...
TTC land,
especially when I was like an unexplained infertility, is you're just like, I don't know how long this is gonna, there's no point me giving things up, because I could be in this situation for bloody years. I found that really difficult.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe it's about setting yourself time frames and, you know, just sticking to something that is going to improve your well-being. And for me also, it was about, as well as that stuff like the deep breathing and doing your daily affirmations out loud and trying to do a bit more meditation, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think feeling empowered to say no to social events whenever the fuck you want to. I found it so difficult to be around particularly pregnant people, but also little kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes also, you know, kind of other family events where you kind of are looking forward into that make you think about the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I think saying no to that stuff, and if people don't understand, then, you know,
fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them. And then the other thing, a huge key that unlocked a lot of it for me actually was from you guys when we did an episode when I'd been doing some reading about, you know, people, well, psychologists explaining infertility as grief and a grieving process, mm-hmm. and saying, oh yeah, but of course, you know, I don't feel justified in saying that. And you were both like, no, it is. And you need to acknowledge that. And I think once I started accepting that it is a type of grief and what the emotions around it are grief, although it doesn't make the emotions go away, it made me much more accepting and stop. It was like I stopped trying to block myself and be like, oh, I'm fine, but so people go through so much worse stuff. You know, I was just like, okay, just let this flow. Let yourself feel all the feelings.
Acknowledge
that it's a huge painful thing, and somehow that made me feel more vindicated in what I was feeling, which kind of made me a bit more able to process it and deal with it and move on from it.
I think that's so important, is that, like, yeah, you're feeling these feelings and it's okay to feel them. Just because there's like starving people in war zones doesn't mean that your feeling of grief is not valid.
Or you know, if you or people you love are experiencing different types of grief, you know, it's I don't know, that single word label kind of was a bit of a key for me.
Well,
processing the emotions.
Mate, we're obviously super excited to meet baby Soph.
Thank
you. I do want to say back before we go that I am really sorry for cursing you with infertility.
We really shouldn't have done that hex that time we were on holiday together.
Well, it's because ages ago I said to Sophie, well, it would be funny if it was the three of us, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know.
And then it was. And I am really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, if anyone is listening to this being like, God, the three of them sound like really good people to go for weekends away with. Don't fuck away.
No, you know, don't come near us.
No.
Fucking tired. No,
thank you so much. You've both been amazing and so supportive throughout this whole thing, and just showered me with support and love and gifts. And it's been amazing. You've been, not to mention the fact you do this whole podcast and book, which is changing people's lives all over.
Oh,
the place.
Stop.
So you're bloody amazing. And you better not edit this out, because you deserve to have this on the record.
Oh, mate. Well, look, thank you for being so generous with your time.
Yeah.
Because, we dragged you onto these calls.
Yeah.
Well, it's been very cathartic for me, actually. So, I guess that would be a final tip, is find someone who's willing to just listen. Without judgment.
Find a way to broadcast your story to thousands of people.
Come on to BFN.
Right.
Okay,
you.
Mate.
Okay. Yeah, love you. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys. For those of you that listened, I hope you enjoyed that and it was the result that you were hoping for.
I like the way you said, for those of you that listened, like the people who've reached this point weren't listening. Thanks everyone. This is the last bit of the last podcast of the this series. Thank you for everyone, for all your support, for all your kind words. We've just had like an outpouring
in the last couple of months, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been really lovely. I think it's just been great because obviously we were working on something quite big behind the scenes for quite a while, and it's just quite amazing to bring it out, and everyone's just so lovely. And yeah, and supportive and brilliant. And so big, massive hugs to every single one of you. You're all fucking legends. And and we love you all. And I think we look forward to coming back with our next series.
Yeah, but as always, break. I hope none of you have to listen to it.
Yes, absolutely. We hope you've all graduated.
We hope we have zero listeners.
You cannot for our chitter chatter.
We'll be back at some point this year. If you want to meet us, we're going to be at the Fertility Show in May. We're going to be on BBC Five Live at some point in March. That's basically all the plans I've got.
Those are some good plans.
Yeah, we're hoping to go to France in June.
We are, and there will be lots of social media content around that little trip.
But yeah, please have a lovely few months and we'll see you very soon.
Goodbye. We love you.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.